Praise the Lord. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" Sometimes we sing about the gospel, or we talk about it, and we talk more about it like we were Matthew versus Mary. We want to open the Bible just thought of this just now in Matthew. Where is it where Matthew and Mary, or where the Lord was invited to Matthew's house? And Jesus gave a parable to Matthew. Simon. Yeah. Was it Simon? Where is it? Maybe it isn't even in Matthew. Well, whenever Jesus came to Simon's house and Simon had invited him into his house, and Mary was at his feet, washing his feet with her tears, and wiping his feet with the hair of her head. And the people came up to him and said, "Well, if this man knew what kind of woman it was that was washing this, that was at his feet, he wouldn't have anything to do with her." And he reproved them. And he told Simon, he said, "Simon, when I came into your house, you gave me no water to wash my feet." It's in Luke 7. Okay. Luke 7 and verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake with himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. There's a lot to learn here. We teach that to hear the gospel is to hear it and obey it and put it into practice. We teach that a man must truly repent and give his heart to following the Lord. There's so much taught, so many people talking about forgiveness and just continuing to live in sin. They've never come to the place where they were willing to truly repent. They just want forgiveness. And sometimes we in our disgust at that, overlook forgiveness. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we become a little like Simon. Simon, I believe, was a man that probably kept all the laws and all the rules that he thought he ought to keep. And he probably had a way of looking at others who weren't obeying the law, and he looked down on them. He thought those were just sinners, ungodly. And he looked at this woman that was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he probably had saw her before, knew who she was, knew what kind of a life she had lived. And here she was at the feet of Jesus. And Simon said within his heart, I don't know how he can stand to be around her. Look at her. Jesus knew what was in his heart. And he told the parable of the two debtors who had, the creditor who had two debtors. And he said, if one of them owed 500 pence and the other 50, the pence is something like a day's wages. So if one man owed almost 2 years of wages, and one man just owed about 2 months of wages, and he forgave them both, which one would be the most thankful? Which one would be the most thankful? The one who had been forgiven much, or the one who had been forgiven little? And Simon answered, well, he supposed the one who had been forgiven the most. Jesus said, yes, you've rightly said. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, see this woman. See this woman. You know, every time we see Mary, she's at Jesus' feet. Every time we see her. Martha and Mary were busy preparing for a supper. And Martha was, the Bible talked about Martha was busy doing all these kind of things. And she began to complain, Lord, have her come and help me. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was busy. Nothing wrong with being busy. But Jesus said, Mary has chosen a better part. Another time, whenever Lazarus died, Mary and Martha were together. And as soon as Mary came, she fell at his feet. Every time we see her, she's at his feet worshiping him, because she had been forgiven much. In reality, we've all have need. We all have need of a lot of forgiveness. But a lot of times, whenever we live and have been taught and brought up such a way that we really haven't done much wrong, we kind of lose sight of forgiveness, being forgiven. What is it about being forgiven? Have we ever really known forgiveness? Have we ever really known just forgiveness? Sometimes someone does us wrong. I heard this. And they ask for forgiveness, and we just say, well, it's okay, don't worry about it. I've learned that instead of saying, no, it's okay, don't worry about it, just to say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Forgiven. Not don't worry about it. You're forgiven. It's gone. I'll forgive you. Sometimes I think we just need to Instead of exacting everything that we can, you know, we're trying to learn how to raise children, teach them how to worship and love God. Children, if you abuse this, I hope you get double the punishment. You hear me? What I'm about to say. If you abuse this, I hope you get double the punishment because you deserve every bit of it. But I think sometimes as parents, we ought to just, whenever the child's repentant, we ought to just say you're forgiven instead of punishing them. Now, if they need correction and just will not surrender, they need some discipline, need some correction, they need some training. But there's sometimes they just need forgiven. So that they can learn what it means to be forgiven. Jesus forgave people. That doesn't give us a right or a liberty to do whatever we want. In no way. In fact, whenever someone is truly forgiven, like in this account here, they truly surrender their wills to God. There's a true surrender. It's not just a phony, I got forgiveness, hallelujah. We spend our time on Sunday just worshiping and praising how forgiven He is, and then go out and sin just so He can forgive us again. Paul said, shall we do that? God forbid. God help us if we do that. Sometimes we act like we don't know that we've been forgiven. Sometimes we forget that we've been forgiven. I think that's something we need and ought to remember. There's a song I really appreciate. It's kind of a, Lord, roll back the pages of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. Remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the pages of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. If it wasn't for God's grace and His mercy, where would I be today? I probably wouldn't be here in this world. I'd probably be dead. I just think of many of the men that I used to run around with. They're gone. They died young, most of them. Remember a man that he was an auctioneer in Texas. In Hopkins County, Texas. It was the dairy capital of the world at that time. And it was, this man was the auctioneer of that county, a young man. I mean, he had the world by the tail. He could talk. He was funny. He was just, could handle people like nobody I've ever seen. was an auctioneer. Had wore white ostrich boots and a big cowboy hat. Just was a, just had everything just down pat. And I thought he had the world by the tail. We'd go down there and spend time with him, and I just thought, boy, that's a neat man. One day I got a phone call. Lacey, another man I used to run with, got a phone, called me one morning early, and he said, Ronnie pulled his pickup into his garage and let it run until it killed him. 33 years old. Had the world by the tail. Remind me. Another man used to work with the sale barns. They're exciting, these sale barns and these auctioneers and these people who travel around and go to auctions. Been partying one night and was flying an airplane to his next place. He was 50. Whenever his airplane went down. Man Lacey, his heart gave out. I think he was 51 or 52. His heart was just completely shot. Over and over again, these centers that I used to be a part of died in their sin. I need reminded of that once in a while. Sometimes it gets a little hard, the way it gets a little tough. Sometimes we get discouraged. Why are we doing all of this? Well, I'm doing this because Jesus forgave me and gave me another chance. He forgave my sin. He forgave me from that wicked life that I used to live. And cleansed me from that way of life that I used to live. I used to live hard for the devil, for this world. And whenever I got converted, I just determined that if I could give myself completely to the world, I could give myself completely to the Lord. That if I could be a fool for the world, I could be a fool for Jesus. Sometimes we forget that. We get to thinking, well, I'm obeying. I'm doing all these things. I'm better than the rest of everyone else. But I'm not, neither are you. If it wasn't for God's grace calling me out of that sinful world and His mercy, I'd have died and went to hell with everyone else. It's dying and going to hell. It's a shame for people just to take forgiveness and trample it under their feet, trample the Son of God under their feet. It's a terrible shame. And it's a terrible shame for us to think that we're anything better than anyone else. We should be full of grace and full of mercy, full of kindness, the best we can. Sure, it's when people just trample the gospel, there's a room for anger and righteous indignation. There's a room for disgust at deceit and sin. But we need to remember where we came from, where we could have been. I could have, at one point in my life, grew up in church, could have sat right there on the back row of the church, dreamed the dreams about my life, what I wanted to do, what I was going to be doing tomorrow, what I was going to be doing after church. Could have sat right there on that bench every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, started a family, started a business, and slid right off of that bench right into hell as a Pharisee. But again, God intervened. I just want to thank the Lord for that. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. All those things in my life were stains. Sin stains. Sin pollutes. Sin puts big dark blotches on our souls. Causes them to stink. It needs washed and cleansed. You know, if you go to lunch somewhere this afternoon and you eat something and something drops off your fork, puts a great old big stain right down the front of your shirt. What's the first thing people notice whenever they see you? All day after that, they see that big old stain right on your shirt. What do you think about quite often whenever you meet someone? You just feel about half ashamed almost. Just, you got a big old stain on your shirt. And that's just a little bit of food. When we stand before God and we've got big old blotches of stain and sin all over us, and we can't get rid of them, how dirty we'll feel throughout eternity. How embarrassed, how ashamed. Jesus shed His blood. Jesus was gracious. Jesus was merciful. And He forgave us and cleansed us. You can't separate cleansing from forgiveness. Forgiveness and cleansing go together. The song, When I Saw the Cleansing. When I saw the cleansing fountain, a hope of being cleansed from my sins, a hope of being set free from this world and its bondages. I can't understand all there is about how all that takes place. I don't know. But I know that Jesus looked at this woman and said, Woman, thy sins are forgiven thee. That was even before he died. He forgave her sins. Jesus told other parables about the man that owed 10,000 talents and he came and he begged for mercy, and Jesus said, I forgive you. The man, the king said, I forgive you. And that man turned around and he went out and he found someone that owed him 100 pence and took him by the neck and said, pay me all that you owe me. And he couldn't do it. And he had him thrown into prison. Jesus brought the man back that he had forgiven all, or the king brought that man back that he had forgiven all that debt. And he threw him in the prison and said, I forgave you, and then this is how you repay me. This is how you repay your fellow man. It's disgusting how people abuse the gospel. Just because they abuse it, we can't lose sight of what it is either. There's forgiveness. And the reason, the motive here that Jesus talks about when he gives this parable is this woman was forgiven much. Therefore she loveth much. She was forgiven much. Therefore she loveth much. What's the commandment? To love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. And when we don't recognize ourselves as being forgiven that much, we kind of go the other way with that. We get proud instead of realizing how much we've been forgiven and humbling ourselves and falling at Jesus' feet in praise and thanksgiving. The second stanza, it says, though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at his feet in ashes lay. Though the way seems straight and narrow, though it seems hard and difficult, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at his feet in ashes lay. we have a way or a thought that we want our lives to turn out, what we can do for the Lord when we trust Him and lay our wills at His feet, He might have a different direction for us. And everything we had hoped for and wanted might be swept away. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. You know, when it comes to the end of the day, whatever, all that matters is, that our sins have been forgiven and that we're going to follow the one who forgave us. Often reminded of the judgment day when we stand before the Lord. Some people are hoping for big crowns and big rewards for all they've done for the Lord. All I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just to have the praise of Jesus for doing what He wanted me to do, whatever that is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether it's appeared great in our eyes or small, but that I pleased my Lord. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we come before You. Lord, we just want to thank You and we want to praise You, God, for all that You've done for us. Lord, let us not lose sight of Your forgiveness and Your mercy and Your kindness that You've shown to us, Lord. Your grace and peace that's been bestowed upon us, Lord, that we might reflect on that and love You for what You've done. In Jesus' precious name.